My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. I'm Mike Salem, and that continues to be our purpose here at Christian Worship Hour, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. So gather together with us to share Christian Worship Hour's broadcast with your family and friends. We received a letter not long ago from a friend in Washington. It reads, "I started watching your program a few Sundays ago. I am impressed with your love of God and people." Pastor Salem was a real down-home, get-to-the-point pastor. I like how he preached the Bible. I have been telling my friends about CWH. Now, let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3 and join Dad for his message on the damage and the blessings that can flow from our tongues. We hope you will be enriched by today's message, Liar, Liar, Tongue on Fire. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. God has been with us, blessed, and helped us. Maybe you've had some hard times this week, maybe some joyful times, but the Lord is in the middle of it all, and He's always there. And that's the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus. He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. We have a sermon today. We're going to be preaching about liar, liar, tongue on fire. And so call your friends and tell them, oh boy, this sounds like a barn burner. And let's see what he's got. Give him a ring. We'll be looking at James chapter 5. But first of all, we want to look at Psalm 24. And these are the words of the psalmist as he said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Oh, Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads in your presence. We rejoice in the great King of kings and Lord of lords, that you love us and that you care for all and accept all who come to you in repentance, and that you help us all the days of our life. And when we're done with our journey on earth, you'll take us safely home to be with you in heaven. We just thank you for being such a great God and that you're always with us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has a song. I know you're going to like it. It is entitled, "In This Very Room." And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus. Is in this very room. In this very room, there's quite enough love for all of us. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. And while Hank was singing that, I was thinking, isn't it wonderful that all over the world, wherever you are, the dear Lord Jesus is as close to you as he is to us. In this very room, the room that you are in, Jesus Christ is there by his Spirit. And you just lean on him and talk to him. And just put all your weight on the Savior, because he is there. He's with you. Praise the Lord. Well, we have letters, and I want to thank you all for writing, and I just appreciate it so much. And by the way, we're going to be reading from James chapter 3 today, and so you might want to find that. But we do want to thank all of you for writing, and we just get so many letters, and we read every one. And if it's a spiritual present, a gift, or a question, we'll answer that for you. If you write and ask us, you know, if the Twins are going to win the next ball game or something, we save the postage on that, because we assume they will win, but you never know. And so, but if there's a spiritual question, we'll answer it the best we can. So I want to share some of these letters, and the first one comes from the Bronx, New York City. And they write, "I hope all of you are happy in the Lord Jesus who died on the cross. He died for the remission of your sins. Listen, I saw you on television yesterday preaching to a lot of people. I don't think they had second thoughts about it, but I think the sermon was edifying. I just thought I'd write and let you know. Now, I know why some people aren't responding to the gospel. Why? Because they feel it will separate them from what they're enjoying now. They need a missionary to counsel them. I would say, don't force them. Anyway, I will say, bye-bye for now. I will hear from you soon." And you know, this is a lady, and she hits the nail right smack on the head. She says, "I know why they're not listening. Because they feel it will separate you from what they are doing." And the St. John says they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And they don't want to come to the light because they're happy in the darkness. But if you come to Jesus and become to the light of the world and be the part of the kingdom of light, you will be happier than you ever were in the darkness. I can assure you of that. Tell you from experience. But isn't that, that's really some insight. And so that's what we're trying to do, trying to bring them out of the kingdom of darkness, the devil's kingdom that ends up in hell, the fires of hell, and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. And you do that through accepting Jesus. Well, here's Deer River, Minnesota. keep preaching the true way of to salvation as my 11-year-old granddaughter came to know Jesus through your ministry. Well, that just thrills our soul. You know, there's three things we have in mind in the Christian Worship Hour. The first one is to glorify and honor God. That's the first thing. The second thing is to help people come to know Jesus. And the third thing is to comfort God's people. Comfort ye, my people, God told Isaiah, the old prophet Isaiah, 40th chapter and first verse. And that's our goal, to win people to the Jesus and to comfort the people in trouble, the older people. Now here's one from Elkhart, Indiana. I love to sing along when one of the good old songs are sung. And so we try to work in some of these hymns as best we can, because I know that it really touches your heart, and we always get a lot of letters. So we're mindful of that. Here's Mitchell, South Dakota. And, I enjoyed this. This is another lady writing, and she says, I wrote a note to you when I was 95. In your reply, you said you're jealous. I reached 100 December 17th, 2015. And so she's really laying it on to me now. Says, I'm in a nursing home. I have low vision and no balance, recovering from a serious fall, but listen to you every Sunday. I lean on Jesus to work with me daily. God bless you, trusting God. And so she's leaning on Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you lean on Jesus. He'll never forsake you. And if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you'll never lose that salvation. We have a little booklet, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. I think it's 14 or 15 pages, and it's from the Word of God. And if you want it, you can write and get it. We'll give the address in just a minute. Get your pencil and paper ready, because you'll never remember the whole address anyway, nor would I. Now here's Gladstone, Missouri. Missing your Sunday service is like a day without sunshine. And that's that heavenly sunshine. And you know why the service is sunshine? Because we're preaching the Word of God. That's where the power is. That's where the strength is. That's why I can preach with authority. When I preach the Bible, I don't have to say it might be or it could be or I hope so. I can say, thus saith the Lord, bang, and that's it, and that settles it. Oh, that's great. I love to preach. And you've got the Word of God, and you never have to back down or change it, or like the politicians, they say one thing and then they spend three weeks explaining what they didn't say or what they did say and say they didn't say or something. But you just preach the Word of God and you can't go wrong. And I think people want to know, is there any word from God? Does God have a message for us? And you bet He does. And that's where we major in. Here's Santa Rosa, California. Thank you so much for your prayers and wonderful program. It has become our church. Patty is Catholic, and I went to a Christian Missionary Alliance college. We're both so thankful to be able to attend your TV church. May God bless you. Love in Christ. Well, with the Christian Worship Hour, there's no denomination. We're just preaching the Bible. And I don't care what you are, and if you're nothing, you listen to this and you'll be something, because it's all centered on Jesus. That's the key. I was pastor of a church for 60 years or more. But that church couldn't save you. It's just Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to God, the way to heaven is a person, Jesus Christ. And that's where we put our major. That's where we put our emphasis. Here's one more letter that I want to share with you. And they write, this is Jefferson City, Missouri. Dear Brother Harold, I just received the Bible and study packet you sent me. This is from a prisoner, by the way. He says, I just received the Bible and study packet you sent me. Thank you very much. I really love the Bible. In your letter, you said you didn't know how long I'm in prison for. I'm here for the rest of my life. I'm serving 2 life sentences and 28 years for murder. I've been in prison now for over 30 years. You know, Brother Harold, since I've accepted Jesus in my life, I don't feel like I'm in prison. I wake up every morning and spend an hour praying and talking to God, and I spend a couple hours each night reading the Bible you sent me. I don't feel like I'm in prison anymore. I feel more free now than I've ever felt before in my life. Brother Harold, thank you again for the Bible and study packet. I pray that God blesses you and your family and everyone there at the Christian Worship Hour. Now, here's a man, and he's in prison for murder, and that's where he should be. Because God teaches us, he teaches us that we need to pay for those sins that we commit, those crimes like that. But he isn't there just feeling sorry for himself. He's found Jesus. And now he has a new life. He's free. He's in prison. We'll be all his life, but he's free. Free of spirit. And there's a lot of you people not in prison, but you're a prisoner. But you're a prisoner of maybe drugs or some habit or love of money. I'm going to preach about that next week. Be sure to tell your friends, tune in next week. He's going to preach about money. Boy, won't we enjoy that. Wow. But that's where we're going to preach because it's in the Bible, see? And so some of you are slaves of money. Some of you have evil habits. Some of you are just all tied up in yourself. You're not free at all. You not don't have bars, but you're not free. Here's a man who has bars. He's free in his spirit. And you know what he can do? He can talk to others about Jesus. That's what St. Paul did. He was in prison, and he talked to Jesus. He can be a missionary. He can shine for Jesus. And believe me, I know this dear brother is just that. So God bless you. Only God can do it. So we just thank you for the letters. But we need to hear from more of you, and we need to have your help. You need to help us with this program. Because if we, you know, we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002, box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send gifts on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day, some of you, you're so faithful in giving, and some of you, you're just thinking about giving, but you never get around to it. But, you know, I was just thinking this. You know, when you go to the restaurant and you eat food and you get your fill, you pay your bill, don't you? And so you worship with us and you get spiritual food, but you don't pay anything. Well, you don't pay your bill. You could go to jail for that. And so you just think about it and say, dear God, what do you want me to do here? Should I give something to this ministry? Is this something that you're using? And if you are, if I'm getting fed from it, if I'm getting my spiritual food from this program, Lord, how much do you want me to give? And then you listen and he'll tell you, and you'll probably fall off your chair. But get up off your chair and write your check, whatever you're going to do. And some of you don't have much. Maybe you send $1, $2. Maybe you send $1,000, $10,000. Who knows? But we just need to have your help. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. I'm giving it again. I know it's on the screen, but we have a lot of folks on shortwave radio. So I'm giving it to you, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You can send us the money. You can be in Africa, and we get them from Norway. We get them from Philippines and West Indies. And you can get on that ChristianWorshipHour.com. It says PayPal, and you make a gift to us. You pay us, and we'll be your pal. You don't pay us, and we'll still be your pal. But we need your money. And if we're off the air sometime, because we didn't get enough help, so you just help us. Now we have a little publication we put out, and it's called the New Song. And it has a Bible study every month. And this month it says, What is True Love? And I know you'll enjoy it. And so you write to us, just say, New Song. If you want to get the one on our salvation booklet, you just write and put salvation. We'll know what that means. We'll send you the booklet. We send that out on a free will offering basis. So we hope we'll hear from you. And I want to also remind you one more thing. Whenever you give anything to the Christian Worship Hour, it'll be spent exactly for what we say. It'll be spent entirely in getting the gospel out on shortwave radio and television. And we're a member of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our income, they check how we pay it, And so it's all above board. So we just pray you'll pray about it, think about it, and help us. So now I'm going to say a little prayer, then Jan's going to play, and then you just do as God lays on your heart. So Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are helping in the work. Thank you for supplying our needs, because we know it is you working through your people. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan, and God bless you. Well, we're reading from James chapter 3 today, and then we'll also look at James chapter 5, but our scripture will be James chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, and then we'll have our prayer, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt, Christian brothers and sisters in Egypt, and the persecution they're going through. All over the world, this horrible persecution. Satan is having his heyday. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and the Lord is going to descend from power of heaven with great power, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then there'll be a tribulation period and all, and then we'll have the end of the world, and we'll all be with the Lord. So that there's going to be an end to this suffering for Christians, and all of those Christians that are dying going to receive a wonderful crown of the martyrs, and we need to pray for them and their families. But first, we're James chapter 3, beginning with the 5th verse. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it destroyeth, defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen to that. Dear Lord, we're going to be talking about this tongue today, and we're praying that we'll, every Christian, all of us, will have dedicated tongues, and we use those tongues to bless God and to bless people and to help people and to keep it under control. We can't do it ourselves. We have to have your help, Lord. And so we pray that we'll be people who know you and love you and speak of your goodness and your love. And Lord, we are praying now for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. And we know, we read about how they're being put to death right now. Probably this very hour we speak, maybe somebody, some Christian in Egypt, and they're taking off his head, or it might be children. They're killing the children, Lord, innocent little children and the women, and they are set on fire of hell as they go out to punish the church of God, the people of God. And so we just pray you'll give them grace and strength. And we pray for those who remain behind, that I know your arms will be around them. May there be a special feeling of your presence, Lord, and may they just lean on you and trust you, and someday you'll put an end to it all. Thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you tarry, Lord. You just tarry. You just wait a little bit longer, because that'll give somebody else a chance to come to you and be saved. Maybe some of those are watching and listening right now, Lord, and your tarrying shall give them time to come and call on the name of the Lord and ask Jesus to come into their heart, confessing their sins and asking for forgiveness. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe that's why you tarry, but there we know you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So may many come during this very service. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Barb has a song now. I heard it first on the radio, so God bless you, Barb.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and I heard it first on the radio. This love of God, so rich and strong, shall be the saints and angels' song. I heard it first on the radio. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The lost and lonely can be found, and grace can even save a wretch like me. No other love could make a way. No other love my debt could pay. And I heard it first on the radio. Needing refuge for my soul, when I had no place to go, and I heard it first on the radio. From a life of wasted years, He gave me peace and calmed my fears, and I heard it first on the radio. Had I heard, where would I be without this love that lifted me when I was lost and nothing else would help? Just as I was without one plea, sweet Jesus came and rescued me, and I heard it first on the radio. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, that captive spirits could be free, and I heard it first on the radio. My soul has found a resting place until I meet Him face to face. And I heard it first on the radio. I love to tell the story true, and those who know still love it too. Oh, what a precious friend I have in Him. Saints will tell, 'twill be the theme they love so well. And I heard it first on the radio. and I heard it first on the radio. Na 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 na, and I heard it first on the radio. On the radio, I heard it first. On the radio,
well, thank you, Barb. And Barb heard about Jesus first on the radio. You know where I heard it first? My mother, my sainted mother. My earliest recollections of life is at night, where my mother would tuck the three boys into bed, read a Bible story, have a little prayer, and give us a kiss. But she always taught us about Jesus. And you know, the first time I heard the invitation given to accept Jesus, I went the first time I ever heard it. And I did it because I knew about Jesus. And I knew Jesus died for me on the cross. And I knew Jesus loved me. But I didn't realize I should ask him into my heart. And 10 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart. And don't you come around telling me that a child can't accept Jesus. They're not old enough. They don't understand. They haven't had enough background and all that. They're just a bunch of trash, and it's from the devil. Because I know a girl who is 5 years old who accepted Jesus, is living for him now, and she's my daughter. I was 10, so don't tell me that I didn't know what I was doing. I accepted Jesus. And that's why the Christian Worship Hour, we want you to come to Jesus, and we hear from children that understand the message. I'm preaching so the children can understand. And they come in here. We've got a letter. 11 years old, little girl accepted Jesus. We sent her some special material to help her in her Christian life. Well, we're going to be talking today about the tongue. And when we talk about the tongue, have you ever heard a sermon on the tongue? Well, I've preached about the tongue. I don't know. I've been preaching 72 years now. I don't know how many times I preached about the tongue. And so today we're going to look at it again. But, and well, you say, what do you have to say about the tongue? There's a lot in the Bible about the tongue, but I'm going to only just look at two things today. I want you to look, first of all, the great damage that's done by the tongue. And then I want you to see the great blessings that come from the tongue, by the tongue. And James talks about the things that can happen with the tongue. He says in James chapter 3, he says, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. And then he says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then he says the tongue is a fire. He says it's a world of iniquity. And he says among it defiles the whole body and hurts the whole body. And then he says, it setteth on fire of hell. Boy, is he putting it out straight. That's the way we need to do it. And that's what that James is telling us. And he says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's why you need to be born again. That's why we need to have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can contain that tongue. We can control that tongue. But the natural man left to himself, it's just out of course. It's just out of control. And look at the damage that it causes. Look at the tire. He says it's a world of iniquity. He says it defileth the whole body. He says it sets on fire the course of nature. It sets on fire of hell. Wowzy wow, is he hitting it. We've all heard of the Great Chicago Fire. That took place 8:30 p.m., October 8th, 1871. And it's recorded that Mrs. O'Leary's cow, she had out in the cow barn, she's milking her cow, and the old cow kicked over the lantern and started the fire, the Great Chicago Fire. Now, how can a cow kick over the lantern, you say? That's impossible. Well, I was raised milking cows, and a cow could kick out to clear to the moon, as I'm due to believe. They can kick, and they can stretch that foot out. I have no question, but it's a true story. That old mean cow kicked over that little old lantern, and it started a fire, one little lantern. And it spread, and the Great Chicago Fire resulted. And you know what? Over 800,000 people were left homeless because of that old cow kicking over that little old fire. That little tiny fire, that little lantern, 800,000 people. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died in that fire. It cost the city over $400 million. And in those days, why now it would cost billions of dollars. And all because of one little lamp, one little fire, damage done. Well, I'm going to tell you that happens these days yet. And in the homes, there's fiery words are said, and parents fight with each other and fuss with each other, and they say things that they wish they wouldn't have said, and they bite their tongue. But the words have been sent, and they're spewed out, and you can't get them back. And I've worked with, I don't know how many people I've worked with, couples that are fighting and fussing. And they say things they really don't mean. It's an atmosphere they're in. And that tongue just is loose, and it causes all kinds of damage. How cruel we can be with our tongues. How cutting we can be with our tongues. Even whether we talk to our spouse or with our children. And children with their tongues, you young people and children listening in. You ought to bite your tongue a little bit and take control of it the best you can and ask Jesus to help you to do that, and he will. In the church, it says it defileth the whole body. The body of Christ is what he's talking about here, and all the sorrow it brings in the church today. You know what God thinks about that? Causing discord among the people of God? In Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 16 and 19, this is what God says. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Then he lists what they are. A proud look. You could preach a sermon on every one of these. We don't have time for that, unfortunately. But it's a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness to speak his lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, he that causeth trouble in the church, God hates. You want to be on that list? So we need to watch the tongue. I'd rather lose my right arm than have God angry with me. Both arms, if that's as far as that goes. Let's turn the tables, though. Instead of thinking about all the damage that the tongue can bring, let's think about the blessings that the tongue can do. Evil can flow from the tongue, and blessings can flow from the tongues. And we do that, for instance, when we encourage our fellow friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we encourage them by our speech. Give a word of encouragement to them. How many people are discouraged today? How many are downhearted? How many have troubles and trials we don't know a thing about? You might be sitting in church right next to somebody. You may be working alongside of somebody with a broken heart, and you don't know it. And you could say a word to encourage them and to just help them along and tell them that you care for them, tell them you appreciate them. Use that tongue to bless and help others. How many young people have been encouraged because someone, a parent, a teacher, a friend, a pastor, complimented them on their work or their efforts. Maybe their work wasn't perfect, but their efforts, they're trying, they're doing what they can. And so they give thanks to God and blessing to God. And so we look to the Lord Jesus to help us do that and to bring peace, because what did Jesus tell us in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who bring peace among people. with our tongues, that instead of causing havoc, we can bring peace. We call it pouring oil on troubled waters. There's a little ripple here. There's a little trouble here. There's a little problem here. And you go and you smooth it out and you settle it down. And with your words, you bring peace and help to those people. I've been in the ministry a long time. I know a man one time I had in church, and he was always stirring up trouble wherever he went. Wherever he was, or wherever Don was, you could for sure, there was a ripple there. Just a little ripple, just what he's saying, just what he's doing, causing trouble all the time. I had a woman in the same church, and she was a peacemaker. And whenever there were troubles and trials, she would go, and when somebody was upset, she'd quiet them down and talk to them. Or she'd call me, and she said, "Pastor, might be a good thing to call on Anna here. She's upset about a certain thing." And I appreciated that, because I could go and talk to Anna. And I'm going to tell you, 99 times out of 100, if you go and talk to them, you can smooth it out. You can work it out. But if you don't go and you wait, it'll just like a sore, and you'll never get it back. So the tongue, use that tongue. She was a jewel in God's sight. She was an asset to the church. And said it instead of her tongue being set on fire, hell, it came from the heart of God and the love of God. And she could just like, well, she did like Proverbs. In Proverbs said long time ago, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Just how we use that tongue, just how we talk. There are some key words and phrases that we could use with our tongue that'll turn things around, will change things. I put down six of them. One of them would, we say, just the word please. And that's letting people know we stand in need, showing we need somebody's help, showing courtesy to other people who just say please, such a little word. Teach the little children to say that. Even before they can, they'll maybe say peas. And whatever else, you don't know what they'll say, but just teach them to say please. Thank you. Being appreciative to those about us, showing appreciation for what they've done. That includes our spouse and our children and our parents. You parents, just be more a little kind to your children and thank your children. You children, wake up. And you know, I know you don't think the parents know anything, but when you get to be parents, you'll think your parents were pretty wise after all. And so you get to Jesus and you trust him. And then just, I was wrong, admitting we were wrong. That could settle a million things, settle a lot of things down. I am sorry. Just to tell, that's hard to say. I am sorry. I am wrong. I was wrong. You just don't know how to get around it, but you can't. And then say, I love you. Tell people that you love them. And what did Jesus say in John 13, verse 35? Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So just say, I love you. Not some gushy, romantic form of love, but just a love from the heart, a genuine caring, a love for each other, a caring for each other. Let them know that. And then you can say, I am praying for you. Isn't that beautiful? To have somebody say, I am praying for you. And oh, that is so important. And you know, I've had people in my church over the years and friends who said, I'm praying for you. I know my mother prayed for me every day of the year. I know that. And I think if it wouldn't have been for my mother's prayers, I'd have been long gone. I'd been in some drunkard's grave or shot in some gambling spree. I don't know where I would have been, but my mother prayed. And so you just say, pray for you. Now be careful. Be careful. Because when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, you better make a note, or at least I make a note. And you pray for them once or twice. And some of them, you'll pray for them many times. And I have some I prayed for my children every day of the year, and some special people. So you have that list, but just to say, to pray. And so, you see, there's the blessings that can come from us to our fellow men. And then we think of the blessings that come when we use our tongue to praise our God. James says, therewith bless we the Father. Bless God, even the Father. We need to use our tongue to sing his praises, to give our prayers, to give a door and to worship him. That's the correct use of the tongue. We bring honor to God's name. We bless his heart as we sing his praises. And we thank him for our salvation. We thank him for his love. And we thank him that when we drift away from him, we're still in his care. And he loves us and he brings us back by his spirit or his word. Or maybe a friend will talk to us and get us straight. We have peace at heart and joy in heart because we have Jesus in our heart. And we need to thank him and praise him for these things. We all have troubles and trials and along the way. But when we come to the Lord Jesus, we can find that as we talk to him, he'll give us comfort and he'll give us strength and he'll give us help. And so we thank God. We thank God with our tongues and praise God with our tongue. We thank him for the hope of heaven, the knowledge that this world isn't our home. There, that the home over there, God is preparing a place for us who love him. And we have that assurance. What a wonderful place heaven must be. No sin or sorrow or pain or tears or anything of these. No cancer anymore, no poverty, no sickness. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus, we give him thanks and praise. And you know, with our tongues, we can do something else. We can give praise among people. We can talk about the goodness of God and the kindness of God. Tell all the world that's about Jesus. Tell everyone you meet that what Jesus means to you and how he has helped you and given you strength. Tell the good news of the gospel with our tongues. People don't need this. Some don't know the way of salvation. We need to tell them. Just tell them about that. Be like Billy Graham. I read about Billy Graham. And he was at some meeting in some foreign country. He was sitting with the king or the high dignitary. And he was talking with him, and somebody heard him, Billy Graham, say, "And what do you think of Jesus Christ?" There he is. And he's witnessing for the Lord to a king or a president. I can't remember just exactly. It was a high authority of the land. And that's what we need to do. And we can get people don't know what the Bible says. They're not reading the Bible. They're reading some sports book or something like that. Or nowadays they're using, there's the two biggest sellers, I think, is cookbooks and diet books. And so they're reading one or the other. They're on one going or coming, one of the two. But so they don't know what the Bible says. So tell them. Tell them about the Lord Jesus. Tell him that he had a son in heaven. His son was in heaven. And tell how that he sent him and he was born of the Virgin Mary. Tell how he grew to manhood. Tell how he went to the cross. Tell how he suffered. They maybe haven't heard the story. Tell how he died and agonized for the sins of the world. Tell how he was buried and raised the third day, and he's coming again, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And oh, tell the whole world so they can call on the Lord. And you know, that's what we're doing with the Christian Worship Hour. That's the only thing we have in mind, and that is that we want people to come to know Jesus Christ. We do everything we can. You know, we do everything we can. If we could make the decision for you, my dear friend, my dear sister, we would do it for you. But we can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, some of you men, your wife would sure make an acceptance of Jesus for you if she could, but she can't. And I can't. The Christian Worship Hour can. Only you make that decision. And so with your tongue, tell about the love of Jesus and tell them that just putting your faith in the Lord and turning from your sins. Jesus taught repentance, and so we have to turn from our sins as the best we can and walk with the Lord and serve the Lord, and that's where the joy is. And then I put down, oh, with our tongue we can praise God, and oh, with our tongues we can sing the song, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." We wish we had 1,000 tongues we could sing about it. And I was thinking, reading about Charles Wesley. He is the one that wrote that song, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." And Charles Wesley wrote it, and he had a lot of verses. We only have 4 or 5 in the hymnal. On the 11th anniversary of his conversion, he wrote the 19th stanza of "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." And that 19th verse that he wrote. He's talking about his conversion. We don't sing it, but here's the words. It goes like this. It says, I felt my Lord's atoning blood close to my soul applied. Me he loved, the Son of God for me he died. What a wonderful testimony, what a wonderful word. And so that was written down. Charles Wesley heard had it singing. People were singing about that song. And so the original title of the song really was a little different. The original title was The Anniversary Day of One's Conversion. And then it was later changed to this. And both John and Charles Wesley in England preached the word of God with their tongue the best they could. From 15 to 18 hours a day they went across the countryside, mostly all on horseback. 15 to 18 hours a day. It's estimated they traveled a quarter of a million miles through Great Britain on horseback, mostly on horseback, preaching with their tongue, telling of the praises of God. This says that they conducted more than 40,000 public services, and Charles Wesley alone wrote no less than 6,500 hymns. They were filled with the wonderful Spirit of God, and they used that tongue to praise God, praising Jesus. And so we have that tongue, and what are you going to do with that tongue? How are you going to use it for the Lord? Are you going to use it cursing? Are you going to use it taking the Lord's name in vain? Are you going to use it with gambling and with the dirty stories and all of the rest of the things? Or are you going to give that tongue to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, oh God, come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll give you my tongue, and I'll just dedicate it to you, and I'll make it as clean as I can, and I'll use it to tell others about good news of the gospel, this wonderful, wonderful Savior. Just Paul talks about this wonderful Savior. He says, this Jesus, he said, just think about how great he is in Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. But you can't tell anybody about Jesus if you don't know him. You had not know about him or read about him like you do George Washington, but it has to be a personal experience because he is a personal living Christ. George Washington is dead. He can't help you. Jesus Christ is alive. And the founder of so many of these religions are all dead and gone. How can they help you? But this risen Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, when you call upon his name, he'll come into your heart and into your life. And he'll make a new creation out of you. And then that new creation, you talk about Jesus. And you tell others about what he's done for you. And you say, I've never been to Bible school, and I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know what to tell them. You just tell them what Jesus did for you. Tell them that how he died for you, how that you took him into your heart, how that he gave you peace. And you have joy because you know your sins are gone and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know you won't have to cross Jordan alone. He'll be with you as long as you live. And when you go, he'll be with you. Call on his name. Do that right now. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, there are so many around this whole world. There are multitudes. And I know right now they're calling on your name. And in their own way, in their own language, they're just saying, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And dear Jesus, I'll make you the Lord of my life. And I'll follow you. And I'll forsake my evil ways. And I'll walk with you. And I'll talk about you and tell others about you. And dear Jesus, we're also praying for those who are on beds of sickness, and those who are shut in, and those who are aged, and those who are lonely, and those who are despairing, and those who don't know which way to turn. Just help them, God, to put their faith in you. Help them to lean on you. Help them to know that you are there, and you'll help them through all the extremities and the hard things of life. Give them peace of heart. And someday, the trumpet will sound, and we'll see you, or someday you'll come and take us. And he said that I'll come for you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. You might come to us in this life and take us one by one, or you might come in glory and great power, but Jesus, we know you're coming, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank all of you for opening your doors for us. We hope that you'll write to us. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Don't forget us. Pray for us. Help us wait if you can. And have a good week. And next week we'll get back. And we're going to have a wonderful sermon on money. Can you believe it? Oh, I can't wait to preach it. And so just trust Jesus, love Jesus, encourage your neighbor, be a shining light, be a sunbeam for Jesus, and he'll use you to bless many, many people. That's our business, and it's all for the glory of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. So we just hope you'll have a good week, and that you'll just know that God is with you and watching over you. And just read your Bible, pray the best you can in your own words, then witness the best you can in your own words, and just leave everything to Jesus. And he said, I'll work through you. I'll take your tongue, and I'll use it to my glory. And that's what we want. All glory to Jesus, the wonderful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you in Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.